My name is Phil Golding, and this is Creating Conscious Relationships. This episode is called Be an Active Listener. Here I will focus on the good communication skills of paraphrasing, reframing, and creating space. In this podcast, I will be giving you some important skills for creating and deepening a meaningful and compassionate connection with your partner, family members, and anyone else you are trying to connect with, such as work colleagues. These skills help you to hear, receive, and understand one another. These skills can be the difference between having an argument with someone or being about gaining deeper understanding and connection. Active listening is essential for good communication. When we are trying to communicate something to someone that is a bit complex, we naturally want that person to generally try to understand us. Often, what we are sharing is something that we are not totally sure of ourselves, or not sure of the right words to say, or not sure of how well it will be received, and because of this, we can also be feeling very vulnerable. It is frustrating when the person we are talking to quickly jumps in with unasked for advice or quickly assumes that they know what we mean and then impose on us a set of conclusions that misrepresent us. If we are pushing into an emotionally vulnerable subject, then as the listener, jumping to conclusions can mean we are assuming we are being attacked and therefore we put up defenses or attack in return. When this occurs, the chance to work through what we were trying to communicate can be lost, along with the connection that we may have been able to make with this person. Even worse, it can lead to deeper disconnection. So what is active listening? What is more constructive is to have someone make the effort to understand what we are trying to say. By reflecting back to us what they heard us say in that moment, without any attempt to draw any conclusions. As the listener, we take it for granted that, at first, we are not going to sufficiently understand what is being communicated. By doing this, the listener is actively checking with us that they took in what we said and that they understood us. It is like a short summary of what we just communicated. This short summary is called a paraphrase. This helps to slow down the communication process and make it more mindful so that we can genuinely hear and come to understand one another. Essentially, we the listeners are acknowledging that we have a head full of our own thoughts and preconceptions that get in the way of being able to hear what someone is trying to communicate, irrespective of how well we may know that person. Paraphrasing helps us to tune in to the person who is trying to communicate to us and actually hear what they are saying. Therefore, we find it hard to hear and understand someone because, 1, we have a head full of preconceived ideas. 2, we are still on our own thought momentum and not at first tuned into the new conversation. 3, we have not learnt the art of skillful listening. When talking to someone who is skillful in active listening, it helps me to 1. Feel heard and respected. I am experiencing that you actually want to hear and understand what I am saying. 2. I feel an immediate connection with you that helps me feel more relaxed and open. 3. By hearing you paraphrase what I have said It helps me to know if you are following me, and if not, I can explain further. 4. I may not really know at first how to say what I mean, which is often the case. Reflecting back to me what you heard me say helps me gain more clarity about what I am actually trying to communicate. To genuinely understand what someone is saying requires a process, a collaboration where we create an open space together to explore what each other is genuinely thinking and feeling. Arriving at this mutual understanding naturally takes time, so we need to be patient. Being perfect at this constructive form of communication is unnecessary and, of course, unrealistic. We don't have to worry about being totally accurate with our reflecting back. If we were, we would hardly need to bother. Because we are human, we must accept that we are bound to misunderstand what the other is saying on a regular basis. There are just too many variables within human interaction for this not to be the case. Therefore, any honest attempt to reflect back what someone has said to us will be appreciated. Active listening lifts the communication process into our conscious awareness and slows it down. In this way, it makes the process more forgiving of our human imperfections. We have more time to identify when our biases, emotional insecurities, and other unconscious reactions are being triggered. We become more conscious of the fact that we cannot be listening while blindly jumping to our own conclusions. We can put aside what we think we know and instead take the time to patiently listen and truly understand. By being consciously committed to practicing this better way of communicating, inevitably improves the quality of our interactions and deepens our connections. As part of this process, we can also ask each other open questions about what we have shared to help us understand the issue better. Open questions ask you what you are thinking or feeling. It does not tell you what you are thinking or feeling, or even guess, leading you to only be able to give a yes or no answer. An open question lets you share your own experience. Due to our desire to truly listen, our questions will be more relevant and they will help us communicate with one another more effectively. So here is an example of active listening. So here's someone sharing to you. Last night I got really stressed out and angry. When I came in and saw you sitting in front of the TV watching football with the volume turned up, and you didn't seem to notice that the kids were arguing and fighting. I was trying to work on my college assignment, but couldn't concentrate for all the distraction. So here is you reflecting back. I'm hearing that you got really stressed out and angry last night because of all the noise. You were wanting me to be more aware of your needs and to pay more attention to the children. One of the reasons active listening is so effective is that it taps straight into one of the deepest needs of our human nature, the need to be heard and acknowledged. For a child to feel loved and develop properly, it is essential that we actively and positively interact with their thoughts, imaginings, needs, and feelings. For many reasons, few of us were mentored through childhood so effectively. If this does not happen, in many ways, children literally feel like they don't exist and they have little value, which can lead to vulnerability and poor interaction skills later on in life. The child is still within us, feeling vulnerable and needing to be heard and valued. A good exercise is for you and your partner to sit down together and practice sharing something and paraphrase it back. and have some fun in the process with how clumsy you are with it at first. It is so important to understand how important active listening is. It can be the difference between an all-out argument or an opportunity to connect more deeply, heal old emotional wounds, and deepen the love in the relationship. It is that important. Now let's look at the second skill, reframing. When it comes to handling angry or abusive communication, some additional skills are needed. Most often, the angry person is feeling afraid, therefore vulnerable and triggered, and simply lacks good communication skills, and will be grateful for caring and supportive guidance towards a better way. Additional skills are needed to be adept at reframing, such as the ability to be aware of and process your own emotional reactions, which helps you to not take personally what the angry person is saying to you. In other words, don't react. This can be a difficult skill to master and requires appropriate self-awareness and personal growth. But it is one of the most important for creating conscious relationships. And again, don't expect yourself to be perfect at this. Even if we get skilled, there's always going to be a moment where we get caught again. But we can forgive ourselves, learn from that, and have another go. Unfortunately, a common attitude seems to be, why should I bother? Why should I be nice when they treated me badly? They made me angry. They deserve to be brought down a peg or two. The ego thinks that being nice in these circumstances also means having to compromise oneself. This is not the case. What I'm actually advocating here is that you make the highest choices for yourself. This ability to not react is the result of being able to take care of your own emotions and is really about self-empowerment. The benefit to you is peace, harmony, and inner strength. To help you build these skills of being calm, open, and present in the moment, go to my 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series, starting with episodes 1, 4, and 6. And also my Real Healing, Real Awakening podcast series. For deeper healing of trauma, depression, and anxiety or stress, go to my Quest for Healing podcast series. Succumbing to anger and reacting to another's anger is actually giving your power away, not preserving it. This message must be emphasized and repeated many times to penetrate the ego's conditioned habitual confusion. When you surrender your power by reacting, you are being controlled by that situation. You are not in charge of your own mind. You are blindly reacting instead of consciously acting or responding. Calmness, poise, and being openly aware in the moment is power. It is the power to consciously respond in a way that is for your highest good and the highest good of the other. That is true awareness, true power. You are being the solution rather than being part of the problem. Our ego might derive some satisfaction from lashing out at someone, but that lower level reasoning is not switched on to how much more difficult it makes our lives in the long term. Nor is it interested in taking responsibility for the quality of relationship that is created. It expects someone else to take that responsibility for us. A good mental position to take that will help you adapt the right frame of mind is to assume that no one is deliberately out to hurt you. It is simply the case that most people just get afraid and confused, even if they struggle to admit to themselves that they are afraid, due to learned defensiveness. They will still appreciate this aware and compassionate approach. if you persist with this view of life, you will be at least 95% right all the time, which is often the opposite of what our ego has learnt to believe. The anger and abuse is not about you. It's about their often confused conflict with themselves that they are unconsciously or compulsively projecting onto you. You do both yourself and them a favour by not taking it personally. Some of us grew up in very negative environments, and also our school environment may have been unkind as well. But now we are out in the bigger world, where there are less pressures, and even though there is a greater variety of communication opportunities, the old mind will still look for any sign of the old painful experiences of the past. Also, if you are in an intimate relationship, it is more clear that we don't really want to hurt one another. Instead, we are feeling vulnerable and momentarily triggered into fight or flight and react unconsciously. I encourage you to think seriously about that. Most of us would rather experience a better way. At times, our wounded ego temporarily gets the better of us, even when we don't want it to. Who we really are would prefer a better way. Isn't that true for you? The other 5% who are too damaged and confused and walled up to get through to will also be constructively dealt with by positively looking after yourself. We can learn to powerfully use the no word out of care for ourselves and not as a way of trying to punish the other person. In this way, you will look after yourself without adding fuel to the fire. So it is important to repeat, most people don't mean or want to be angry and hurtful. Most of us would rather a better way. If we approach each other in a better way with persistence, we are likely to make positive changes. If despite our best efforts, the anger and abuse persists, then strong boundaries may need to be put in place to protect ourselves. By positively acting for your highest good without putting the other person down, you will gain self-respect and often respect from others, even from those who don't like the boundaries that you put in place. There is always a choice. You can either focus on the other's heart or the other's emotional baggage. Whatever you choose to focus on, you will reinforce. That is the power that you have in this world, a power that you experience every day. You have the power to make your life easy or hard. You can deny this fact all you like, but denial does not make this personal responsibility for the life that you create go away. You are the creator of your reality. Instead of lashing out, you can choose to help another out of their temporary confusion if the heart is open enough, and help yourself in the process. You can disarm the situation. Everybody wins. Therefore, the skill that goes well with active listening, that helps to positively deal with angry and derogatory communication, is called reframing. When we use reframing, we filter out the abuse and reflect back to the angry person a reconstructed version of what was said. It's like active listening, but with a positive filter. The paraphrase contains the important information, but worded in a constructive way. The abuse is filtered out. In other words, we treat it as though the communication was delivered in an appropriate way and reflected back accordingly. Let me give you an example of reframing. First, the unskillful communication. "You broke my good china jug, you idiot. That's the one Mum gave us as our wedding present. You're bloody useless." Reframing. "I understand that you're upset because that was a wedding present from your Mum." Here's another example. Again, first the unskillful communication. You jerk, what did you do that for? I'd arranged all that stuff very carefully, and now you've messed it all up. Reframing. I see that you're very angry that I disturb your things. Can we spend a moment to work out how we can avoid this happening again? I'm keen for us to find a way to work together harmoniously. Note how the name-calling has been filtered out and only the useful essence of the message is paraphrased. The person delivering the unskillful communication may not let go of their negativity straight away. But if we persist with this reframing response, it will have a positive effect in the long run. Note in each example, my partner's feelings have been acknowledged. My partner's deep need to be heard and acknowledged will be soothed by my response, and her attitude is likely to soften accordingly. We will then be in a better position to deal with the matter constructively. My partner may even feel a bit guilty for her abuse and apologize. I have connected to her heart and in the process helped her upset inner child feel acknowledged. This will help her to shift out of her fight or flight reaction and connect to her heart once again. Even if she doesn't respond constructively straight away, it will get her thinking along those lines. Of course, the more persistently we communicate it in this positive way, the more chance of it making a positive difference to the way the other person feels and responds. Don't expect things to necessarily change overnight. It usually takes a while for the new approach to filter through the defenses. It, of course, also depends on your sincerity and persistence and commitment to learn this better way. Every time you have a go, even if you make a mess of it, it's an opportunity to learn more and be more aware the next time. If I became angry in return and fired back with abusive words of my own, that opportunity for a resolution and healing of the situation would be lost. All I will be doing is strengthening and deepening the blind confusion in both of us. We will be two scared and confused children lashing out at one another, rather than aware adults trying to work things out. It is my responsibility to my own well-being to learn the skills that create harmony wherever possible. Remember, we really want to love one another, not be in conflict with one another. But to do that, we need ongoing healing and growing awareness in order to take care of our past emotional wounds so that we don't project them onto one another. So with reframing, you start by setting the intention not to react and instead paraphrase as though it was said to you kindly. It is essential to remind yourself of this intention every day. In your daily to-do list, for example, to keep it in your conscious awareness. You then look for opportunities each day to practice this so it increasingly becomes a new constructive habit. So let's look at how to create space in the conversation when we can't get a word in. This is the third part of active listening. Sometimes the person communicating gets a little carried away and talks at us for a long time while hardly drawing a breath. This style of sharing can make it very difficult to find a space to reflect back. We lose track of what is being said and we can feel a bit run over by the communication. It makes it hard to connect to the person who is talking to us. So this can be frustrating and draining. The person who communicates in this way has likely formed this habit out of some level of anxiety, perhaps. The skill here is to respectfully break into the conversation and communicate your need to understand what the other is saying, and also to reflect your need to feel included in the conversation. You do this in a way that is affirming and disarming for the other person. The conversation can then be transformed into a more satisfactory experience for you and also the person giving the monologue, who is usually unaware of how he/she is communicating. Here are a few examples of creating space in the conversation. First example. Excuse me, darling, you're giving me too much information to hold on to. Let me check with you to see if I'm hearing you right so far. Another example. I need to break into the conversation here so I don't lose track of what you are saying. Can I check with you what I have heard you say so far? I can get a bit lost when there is too much information, and I really want to hear what you are saying. You can also add, it would really help me to hear you better if you could slow down and share with me in smaller segments. I can then connect with you more easily. I really want to hear what you have to say. Reflecting back in this way will help raise the other's awareness of how they are communicating. Knowing that you really want to hear what they have to say will help them relax and connect with you better. Remember though, old habits are hard to break, so you must be patient and persistent. Don't give up on them. You wouldn't want someone to give up on you if the roles were reversed. So let's conclude. Active listening can take a lot of practice, and as is often the case, when learning a new skill, it can feel odd and perhaps a little false and clumsy at first. The tendency to want to jump in and fix the issue by giving advice instead of just listening and reflecting back can be a very ingrained habit. It is also very difficult not to react and be defensive. Overall, this is an important part of the skill of what's called holding the space for our partner's feelings and for what they have to share. It is how we create a sanctuary for one another in the relationship. It is very important for effective communication and intimacy. Active listening has the potential to save a relationship that is struggling and to bring a functional relationship to a deeper, more meaningful level of connection. It is well worth your persistence. You are worth it, and so is your relationship. Keep referring to this information to help you stay focused and to continue to deepen your understanding. You have the power and ability to create the relationships that you want.